This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, that's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Classes in session. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, producer Jess, in the house. What's happening? Johnny, what's going on in your world, man?
Hey, man, you know, it's fully feeling like spring. You know, winter sports are winding down and, you know, just excited to be here talking education talk. Fully leaded education talk gets me going. So I'm excited. Another week. Here we are. It's March. Lots of exciting things. And certainly, you know, not a lack of information about policy and schools and things happening, especially in higher ed. So yeah. Excited about discussions today, man. You know, I teach teachers, I work in higher ed. So it's been a blitzkrieg of meetings responding to, you know, policies and shifts.
Yeah. Jess, what about you? How you doing?
You know what? As the days are getting longer and the temperatures are getting a little bit warmer, I'm feeling a thaw happening inside of myself, and it has been good to reconnect with the things that bring me joy, including, of course, educated educators talking education. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, you know, yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, the days are longer. There seems to be a little bit more sunlight. There's something there that makes you go, okay, yeah, I think we can get through this. But Johnny, yeah, talking about higher education, you say, you know, we love to grab guests that are doing, you know, commentary in ways that help the Busted Pencil listener, you know, really make sense of what's going on. And you say, let's be honest, what our attacks on higher education in this current world is frightening, potentially disruptive, but you know, there are people out there that are at least helping us try to make sense of some of the things going on. And John Marcus, he is a veteran education journalist. He doesn't just report on higher ed. He holds a mirror up to it. His latest piece from the Hechinger Report explores how colleges are scrambling to rebrand humanities degrees as job friendly in an effort to boost enrollment, improve their worth in a job market obsessed with hard skills. Welcome to Busted Pencils, John Marcus. John, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So in the middle of the attack on higher education, you're bringing out this piece. Now, does the rebranding or the repackaging of the humanities predate the Trump administration? Is it a reaction to the Trump administration? I wonder if you can just kind of give us a general sense of, and or the people going, wait a minute, I didn't even know the humanities were being rebranded.
I think what people might not be aware of is how much in decline the humanities have been over the last few decades. And this absolutely predates the current administration, although I'm sure that probably will complicate efforts to reboot the humanities. It's important to keep in mind in the midst of all this chaos that colleges and universities are still operating every day and teaching students behind all of the attacks on DEI and all of the other things that are happening. And one of those ways is by trying to connect the humanities with their application to careers. I don't think that any student can be blamed for wanting to know what they're getting for their money. There's a point at which how much colleges and universities charged for tuition shifted the responsibility to them to make the case to the consumer of what they were getting. And I think a lot of people, and we've seen that in enrollment numbers going down, a lot of people don't think they're getting their money's worth. So this attempt to rebrand the humanities is a practical way of kind of attracting enrollment back to subjects that have lost a lot of it.
Johnny, think about this though too, right? We, you know, enrollment declines. I mean, I actually understand enrollment declines in higher education pretty personally, and knowing what can happen there. But John, thinking about this though too, is I wonder about, you know, rebranding the humanities. Is it about job readiness, or isn't it about time to potentially help students and families, my neighbor, understand what it is about the humanities that is essential to living a life in a democracy, and that maybe higher ed really hasn't done a good job other than saying, we know best and you need these courses because we said so?
Yeah, I think both of those things are true. I think it's preparing students for careers, better connecting the skills that you legitimately learn from the humanities with what employers want, but also explaining that to parents. And to your point, no, higher education has done an absolutely abysmal job at promoting the humanities. When you would ask, why should I take a humanities course? The answer you would get from a liberal arts college president would be, because we're creating citizens of the world and imparting knowledge, and people's eyes glaze over. That to them doesn't add up to what they're paying for. It's not telling them anything practical or specific. And I was at a conference of humanities educators where, to my kind of amazement, this was fairly recent, they took out a whiteboard and started writing down ideas for how do we make people believe again in the humanities. And I'm thinking, are you just now getting around to that? This is you've seen this massive decline over the last 20 years, and now you're figuring that out. But someone made a great comment in that conversation. They said two of the worst words in America right now are liberal and arts. And if you're trying to promote a liberal arts education, it's really challenging. But the value of it is incontrovertible. And I'm saying that not only because I'm an English major, I'm saying that because if you ask employers, they want those skills. They're called, they tend to be called soft skills, which I think is a really bad term because it sort of discounts them. These are essential skills that you need, that you learn from the humanities, how to communicate, how to problem solve, how to work in teams. And those are what the humanities teach.
Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more, Tim. I think this is a great conversation to be having, because I like when the mirror is held up to us in higher education. How are we, you know, best serving our larger community, but especially our community of incoming students? I think it's brilliant to be, you know, mapping pathways to their careers and thinking about how, you know, whatever subject it is we teach contributes to those career pathways that young people are excited for. I mean, that's the beauty of being in education. And even if you don't know, I think it's really helpful for, you know, universities writ large, higher education. I mean, our K-12 schools do this too, and always work on this. How do we help young people find what they love to do, to get really good at things that they have a passion for and to go in that direction? You know, that helps, like you said before, Tim, helps develop citizens who contribute to a strong economy, to a strong democracy, to that well-roundedness. And as we know from the humanities, I mean, I'm a humanities scholar myself. I mean, there is a lot of ways that what we learn in the humanities apply to, and I'm with you, John. I don't like the labels, like the hard skills, soft skills. It's just the skills, the diverse skill set that a well-rounded education brings in to, you know, your profession. I got the privilege in the last couple of years to work closely with some med schools and to see, you know, future doctors also having art courses and poetry classes as part of their med school training, because the research has shown the balance that it brings, the way that they can, you know, I'm going to really simplify it because I'm not a brain scientist, but, you know, I understand it as like, hey, having good left brain, right brain balance, these kinds of things. Also having, you know, a way to, you know, continue to keep our fine motor skills and our creativity and our thought process for divergent thinking and all of this helps our communication skills, you know, helps us relate to patients and things like that. So I've seen the research informing some of that change. I think the political climate has heightened how we talk about it. But like John is saying here too, it's been happening for a while. It's maybe long overdue, but it is happening. And it's exciting to see examples of where it's happening in successful ways. So love what you're writing about too, John. Thank you.
We're teaching essentially what you're talking about is teaching people how to think. And we kind of need more of that. I think that's a fair comment to make without, you know, suggesting one way or the other how they think. But we need people to think for themselves. Also, to your point, Tim, it's not, it is a rebranding. Absolutely. There's no question about that. But I don't want to leave listeners with the impression that it's just changing the name, changing the words. As you said, Johnny, too, the idea of combining things, like I wrote about a program, a medical school that teaches, or it's a pre-med program that also teaches French to future doctors. And then they go to a hospital in France and work there. There's a program that I visited that combines religion with healthcare. So because there are not necessarily only mainstream religions, but sort of kind of alternative religions that have different ways of approaching medical issues. And to know that, and to understand a patient's knowledge of that or faith in those kinds of alternative healthcare options is important for people in the healthcare community. So all of these things matter. And by not just rebranding, but genuinely connecting these subjects, I think is where people have seen a huge uptick in humanities enrollment.
Our guest is John Marcus. His piece in the Hechinger Report, Colleges Rebrand Humanities Majors as Job Friendly. That's what we're talking about today. John, I wonder, though, too, when kind of come back to this, you know, employers say they want critical thinking skills. I wonder, though, too, if the employers understand that what they're asking for are humanities. I wonder how much sometimes our employers themselves don't really know how to say, you know, wait, those courses are essential and we didn't know they weren't being taught, or, you know, do we have education also to provide to employers to say, hey, you know how you feel like you're missing critical thinking in your workers? Did you know it might be because of, John?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I do know that empirically you can see an overwhelming desire among employers and hiring managers to have those kinds of abilities, those kinds of talents in college graduates. You can also see overwhelmingly that they're not getting it. Yeah. They are really disappointed in the people coming out of college in terms of their ability to problem solve and work in teams and all of those other humanities related skills. I don't know whether they necessarily, whether they equate it, but I will say that I visited the University of Arizona to report this story, which has been particularly active in this area and whose humanities enrollment has increased significantly. And where you do see it is that business school deans get that their business students should be taking humanities courses. Medical schools and pre-med programs and the sciences want their students to take these. So at least within academia, and you would have to imagine that a business school dean is somewhat connected to the real world and to what employers want who take their graduates. They get it and they want those kinds of connections.
Johnny, what do you think? Jump in there, man.
And I love this because, I mean, it is, at a glance, when we start to talk about this, we might think of our like gut reaction, like, hey, we're, you know, instrumentalizing the humanities, you know, we're kind of butchering it, you know, as a way to kind of package better learning to be a computer programmer. So I like what John said, because words, you know, Tim, I always say words matter, right? And I know John's on board with that. I mean, he's a journalist and a, you know, and a humanities major himself. But the way that John's talking about this and that we're having this conversation, if you hear it, you could say, yeah, they're just trying to rationalize, you know, utilizing the humanities to get better at being a programmer or to, you know, whatever the other hard science or tech related degree is. And that's just not the case. So we really want to word it in a way like we're having this conversation to talk about that it's value enhancing. It's bringing these worlds together. It's moving into a 21st century era where the kinds of problems and innovative thinking that we need, they require development of empathy. They require creative thinking. They require, you know, like John said, learning about different cultures, right? And when we do that, right, we become stronger at what we are also really interested in doing. And so I think the more that university programs and really all the way through our education bring that together, you know, it's not one in order to get the other. The two really help you be a strong know, contributor to your career.
All true, but I would take issue with one thing. Who cares if they're rationalizing it to make somebody think they need to take the humanities to be a coder, as long as they take the humanities. And what you said is absolutely true and very eloquent. But let's just tell people, take the humanities, you're going to get a job. I mean, just speak their language and not academic language, as so many people in academia often do, no offense, that, you know, we should just make that case. And if we want people to understand it.
Well, and I think I'm speaking to you, and we've said this before on the show, the need for, and I'll you know, put the mirror up to even myself, to have humility in our academic work. It is really important. This is not an attack on the value that you bring to your university or your students. And I'm talking to faculty researchers out there, but it's like John's saying, it's having some humility and understanding that even if a student is instrumentalized our passion and our career, that you are making them a better, well-rounded person, and they're going to be better at what they do. So it's a both and, right? So I'm calling and asking for a little humility from faculty who really tend to dig in and say, but, you know, we should still understand the value of my area of interest or what I'm teaching is just as important. But like, no one's saying it isn't. So, but I get the way that it feels. So I'm trying to bridge that gap and ask for faculty and experts who our students are learning from. And I'm with you, John, like, who cares? They're getting better at what they're doing in a way that we all agree is really healthy and helpful for them. Especially industry is telling us this is the kind of worker that we want. So I kind of am poking at that too, saying, hey, faculty folks out there, you're great teachers, have some humility. And I'm with John too, like, okay, who cares? We're not instrumentalizing in a way to devalue what you bring,
but John,
at least fortify it.
Oh, I wonder too, kind of bridging off this, the work that you've done that went into this article, you cite Arizona State. I mean, so there's a small private liberal arts college in Michigan that read this, wants to know more or how to do this. Are there places they can learn other than Arizona State? I mean, what do you know? Because I could see, as you say, a business college dean, maybe even a provost out there going, man, we got to get busy on this. You know, what are some best examples maybe that are out there already?
Yeah, it's actually, I should just to correct you, it's University of Arizona, not
okay.
Arizona State.
Sorry.
And yep. But I think that's sort of hilarious because University of Arizona took out a billboard in Phoenix near Arizona State, promoting the humanities and telling people to come to the University of Arizona to learn about them. A number of places that are doing this best, and I think this is really important to think about, is technical universities. Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, they have extraordinary programs that incorporate the humanities into other programs in the sciences. And for example, Virginia Tech has an mid-career executive program for people from big tech firms that uses the humanities entirely to help them be better leaders. I think that's evidence in itself, and it's oversubscribed. That's evidence in itself of how important people who are in the business of knowing this stuff, why this stuff is important, they think this is valuable, and that's a great example of it. So Emory does this, Georgia Tech, I mentioned, Virginia Tech, University of Arizona, Central Michigan University, which has had huge decline in humanities enrollment, and it has just incorporated this idea of applied humanities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are a number of places across the map that are doing it.
Man, so much we can be continuing to talk about. Our guest was John Marcus. Check out his piece in the Hechinger Report. Colleges rebrand humanities majors as job friendly. Hey, if you're an institution out there wondering why that decline is happening, hey, you know, check it out. Reach out to us. I'll put this out there too. Go to bustedpencils.com. Yeah, the newly launched website. It's out there. It's live. Send us your questions. We'll make sure that we get everything we can to John Marcus. And John, thanks for busting pencils with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And now for your moment of zen. Patriotism requires a distinction between government and country. That's what the Declaration of Independence was all about. The Declaration of Independence which isn't taught very well, I must say. On the 4th of July, you'll see newspapers printing the whole Declaration of Independence, but it seems meaningless because they don't really catch the philosophy of the Declaration, because the philosophy of the Declaration is expressed in the idea that governments are artificial creations.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session with education journalist John Marcus, and for grabbing podcasts like this one and other special Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website. Or like Tim mentioned in the show, you can go to bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't forget to find Free Throws and Face-Offs on Friday and catch Busted Pencils live at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.